In this podcast, I'd like to talk about two extremes that we want to avoid, especially as adult athletes who want to keep our bodies and our minds going for many years. So if you imagine you're traveling down this road and on one side there's a ditch that you don't want to fall into, and on the other side of the road there's another ditch that you don't want to fall into, and these two represent the extremes. So on the one side, the ditch is the attitude of wanting to swim in such an easy way that you never challenge yourself, that you never feel any discomfort or stress in the body while swimming. You only want it to be easy and pleasant. And on the other side, on the other extreme, is the go hard, there's no point in swimming unless I'm going hard, that kind of mentality. And where you're always subjecting the body to stress every time you go swimming or running or exercising, and it only feels meaningful if you're going hard and inducing stress. So if you can imagine those two extremes. Now, it's pretty rare to find somebody who's totally in one extreme or the other, but I think all of us, every single one of us, myself included, have a tendency towards one of those extremes or the other. So we, somewhere along the spectrum between the two, we will find ourselves generally on one side or the other in our disposition. So, but our best zone is somewhere in the middle with a mixture of both. That's really what we want to aim for. And there could be seasons where, or parts of your season, say if you look at the year, there could be parts of the year where going harder is more appropriate for various reasons. And then there could be parts of the year where going easy is low stress is more appropriate. Now, for those that tend to be on the, hey, let's just take it easy, make it completely pleasant and enjoyable all the time, here's the concern, is that growth, expansion in your abilities, as well as keeping the abilities you've got, those require that you stress the systems so that they stretch out. So growth, the growth of muscle mass, the growth of the training of your metabolic system, which processes food and converts it to energy, then makes your muscles able to convert it to power. All those things that become even more difficult to maintain or to acquire the older you get, those things require stress. Even with your neural system, your precision, your ability to think cognitively, your ability to perceive, your ability to problem solve, all these things require that you stress, you challenge the systems so that they have to keep growing. They have to keep flushing out old stuff and rebuilding and making new stuff. And so it's necessary stress that keeps us young and keeps us growing and helps us get stronger or more fit. So your practices need to include, or occasionally, or periodically, or cyclically, need to include activities that stress your muscles, that stress your metabolic system, meaning you swim until you get fairly tired and you kind of push past where you don't, you know, your body says, I'm kind of tired, can we stop now? And you have to go a little bit further. And if you do that on a regular basis, your metabolic system and your muscles say, hey, we've got to build up. This person is serious. We've got to expand our abilities. So the body gets to work while you're resting and builds up the systems and they get stronger. So if you just stay within your nice, easy swimming or running or exercise zone all the time, where you never really feel stressed in the muscles, you finish before you feel really any fatigue, and If you always feel like, oh, you come back the next day for practice and you feel totally fine and energetic, well, that lets me know that you are not always, you're not stressing your systems, okay? So I hope you keep that in mind now. You do got to stress it. And it doesn't mean you have to do this all the time. It can be that, hey, for the springtime, you want to build up some muscle mass getting ready for the summer, and you maybe want to go on a swim holiday, or you want to do some master swims or whatever, or you just want to be stronger for that time of the year. So you get to work in the spring and you're doing more deliberate training that has intensity built into it. So it's making you uncomfortable. It's raising your heart rate. So it's pounding. It's working harder than it normally does. Then you have to sustain it longer than you're comfortable doing. And your muscles have to work harder, and they come to fatigue, and they feel a little sore. So those are things that are going, are signs, healthy signs of inducing growth. And you can carry that on for 4 or 5 weeks. Take a rest week, carry it on for another 4 or 5 weeks. You can do this, it's okay. So when I use the word comfortable, that means the discomfortable signs are still healthy. They're not signs of damage to your body, of inappropriate damage to the body, mind you. They're signs of the body systems doing what they're supposed to do when you impose challenge upon them, and they have to work harder, and they have to problem solve, and they have to build up new things. That's the kind of discomfort that you want. Pain is an indicator that something is wrong. So pain is telling you, hey, what you're doing is damaging or going to damage something in the body. You better pay attention and modify what you're doing. Pain is a signal to change, improve, to correct something. You may need to stop the practice if you feel pain, because if you don't know what it is, you'd better stop until you figure out what it is, because you shouldn't be swimming with a pattern that causes you pain that's a warning signal that something is wrong. That it requires all of your attention to figure it out and solve it so that you don't end up messing up part of your body. Okay, so on that side, folks that want to go really easy all the time, I'm encouraging you to move towards the middle. Add stress, positive challenges, intensity to your training, either regularly or cyclically throughout the season. Now, on the other side of the extreme, we got folks who want to go, 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 go. And if it's not going hard, doesn't feel like it's burning and it's breaking down muscle and it's pushing the heartbeat and the respiration through the roof, then it's like, man. So I even got a friend who says, Matt, I really don't want to, it only matters to me, I just want to get wasted when I finish a practice. And I'm like, okay. I've tried to argue with this friend over the years, and I just finally stopped, because basically his mindset is like, it's, I have so little time and I just want to get my workout in, and feeling wasted is a sign that I've done all that I can do in that time. Now, the logic is partly true. You know, you've got limited time and you want to get the most out of it. Yes. But the thing is, him and I are the exact same age. His body is crumbling. We're 45, he's crumbling, and mine's getting stronger because he's tried to do this hard, go hard, go hard, go hard all the time in his running and his swimming. And the body's just like, it's not good for the body. The older people that you see in master's practices and other places, and even intense runners, most of them, their bodies are hurting and they're just bearing with it because they love their activity more than they care about preserving their joints at this point. Or they're the lucky ones who cover it with Advil or don't seem to have pain. But there's a very, very few people. The rest of those people who are hurting, they stopped swimming or they stopped running. So I'm telling you that intense, hard exercise every day, all the time, even several days a week, week after week, month after month, year after year, this is not the way of longevity. This is the way of modern culture's attempt to replace all-day movement that is healthy with a pill, so to speak, a one-hour pill to replace the sitting lifestyle, the sedentary lifestyle that's really killing us all earlier than we should and wearing out our bodies earlier than it should. So those folks on this side of the equation, which I used to be a part of, we have got to see a long view of what it means to be exercising and taking care of our bodies. Likewise, there needs to be seasons of restfulness, of easier movement and swimming, enjoyable swimming. Also, a concern of mine in this zone is that swimming or your exercising, your running becomes very externally driven, like, hey, the clock, I've got a man, you know, I heard a guy say in the pool, every year since I'm 59, I swim 100. I've been challenging myself to swim 100 free, 100 yards free, a number of seconds according to my age, which is a good challenge, but it's an external challenge. What I wonder is, what does it feel like inside of his body? And if he's trying to hold on to his ability to train at that high level, but doing it by pushing through pain, indicators of damage, then he's really burning his candle way faster than he should be. But in that mindset, there's an addiction, I'm going to say that word boldly, there's an addiction to the exercise rush, to the feeling wasted. There's a misguided association between that feeling and being healthy. Now, you may be fit if you can swim 100 yards at 60 seconds, if you're 60 years old. That may be fit, but that does not mean you are healthy, right? What healthy means is that your joints move without pain, that they move through the full range of motion, that your joints aren't sloppy, that they're not stiff, that your muscles can support you through the full range of motion, that you're able to go do other normal activities throughout the day without pain, without restriction. That's what it means to be healthy, that you can squat, that you can stand, that you can lift, that you can roll on the ground, that you can push yourself up from the ground, that you can push, that you can pull, that you can walk, that you can hinge at the waist and reach down and touch your toes. These are essential abilities for human beings, especially for those of us getting older. So being able to swim 100 yards in 60 seconds, that has such limited practical value for your life that it's great, but do not do that at the cost of the other activities, at the other abilities, at the health of your joints that allows you to do normal living for the rest of the 95% of your day. So those of us that have been or are on this go, 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 go hard side of the equation, we've got to learn to take on new perspective, this long view, and that gentle swimming or gentle running or whatever our preferred exercise has a very vital place in our exercise routine. So I would say, again, have a season where you're going to go harder, spring or the winter or whatever it happens to be. Take 3 or 4 months and build up and go for a certain achievement. And then take some time where you switch modes. Maybe you go from sprint mode to long distance swimming mode, and whatever long distance for you happens to be. And you kind of switch modes and you give the muscles and the joints and the neurology a rest in one way and allow them to work in another. And then maybe if you have other activities that you like to do, there could be a season where you do very little swimming. You just maybe swim once or twice a week, just easily use it as recovery. Then you're spending your time enjoying the other activities and kind of emphasizing those. Like if you like cycling, you know, do that in the summer and the early fall, and then switch back to swimming in the wintertime. So change it up in that way. But I also want to speak to those who go hard, go hard, go hard, that I would really challenge you and ask yourself, do you really love the sensation of movement through the water? Have you lost that love? Do you remember what it's like, or do you still have it? Because if you're being driven externally by certain time or speed or beating the people next to you, those are forms of satisfaction, but they're external. The thing is, you live with your body, and you live with your body for the rest of the 95% of the time outside of the pool, and that body and you need to get along, and it needs to feel good, and it needs to feel good going around doing the things you're doing. And so part of getting in the water and swimming is just learning to move the body in the way in the way that it was meant to move. Meaning, if you've been going hard and that's been your emphasis, and you've been not so diligent about technique in over the years because going hard has been more important than maintaining precision, well, then I challenge you to go and examine precision, examine proper technique, work on those areas of your stroke that you've just said, hey, we're good enough. Because the reason we do proper technique is not for merely performance efficiency, but for physiological health. That I teach proper technique so that people's bodies will last a long, long, long time, longer than they will otherwise. That's the main purpose of teaching good technique, to take care of the body. So by swimming slower and just exploring movement patterns and feeling what it's like to have a body that moves smoothly with no internal friction or restrictions or conflicts or collisions in the tissues and in the joints, that's a marvelous thing. And then you add on top of that just the pleasure of water flowing smoothly over the body line as it slides through the water. So just learning to appreciate and to swim with a concern for qualities for part of the season more than you care about quantities. So who cares about the distance right now or the speed? Just swim for the sake of feeling water flow more smoothly over the body with less turbulence, less disturbance, and quieter, feeling like the movements are more minimalistic so that you are more hydrodynamic. So exploring these things, exploring your relationship with the water and exploring your own relationship with your body, these are things very worthy of your time because they do tie directly into the rest of your life. Speed in swimming does not, but internal qualities of movement patterns and your awareness of what the body is doing, how it's working inside of itself, how the body parts are working in synchronization or not working in synchronization, how your body is working smoothly with the water versus in a inconsiderate or turbulent way. All these things build skills that will serve you on the land in your other activities, in interfacing with gravity, interfacing with the ground, interfacing with other moving objects. So that's my encouragement to you, for you go, 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 go hard folks on that side of the spectrum. Take some of your season, some of your week, I would dare say even once every 2 weeks, you can be taking a long, gentle swim. Use that as a challenge, just like I would challenge folks on the other side of the spectrum who want to go easy. Every 2 weeks, I want you to do a longer swim or a more intense swim. Say do swim 1,000 straight without stopping, if that seems just a little bit challenging to you. Or swim 10 100s. If that seems a little bit challenging to you, and just do it every 2 weeks. That's your routine. Now you just kind of add that in there. It gives you some data markers on what's going on. Okay? So for both ends, those people that are farther on each extreme, you need to add a measure of the other side of the spectrum to your training to complete the picture. You want to blend qualities with quantities. You want to blend smooth, easy, relaxing with intensity and challenge and positive stress. And you want to use those both because you need both to maintain a healthy body and mind and a long-lasting body and mind and having and maintaining a positive relationship with your body interfacing with the water and interfacing with gravity and the land. So that's my encouragement to you, and I hope you move closer to the center. All right, take care.